Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that special so very much. I want to say again to you as a church, thank you for your hospitality. We have enjoyed our time. Those who have made the meals the last three evenings have been spectacular. If I'm right, there's probably a children's church that didn't get dismissed yet. So let's go ahead and do that. So young people, you know who you are. And if it's not really you, you stay here, okay? We don't want anybody leaving that's not supposed to leave now, all right? But I hope those, the three folks who made the meals the last three nights are still in here. Thank you. I'll tell you what, we will all be bigger missionaries because of your ministry to us. I will tell you, it was absolutely fabulous. You've done a great job with that, and we want to say thank you. And we got to eat with the young people today, and the last couple of days spent some time. Now, folks, I want you to know your pastor has put a lot of pressure on us this week. It's really been tough. He sent us to the hallway, and he asked us as missionaries to judge which one of those posters was the best one. That's a lot of pressure. And then today, the young people made cookies. I don't know how many different cookies there were. There were probably 6 or 8 or 10 different cookies, but you got to understand the cookies were each about this big, okay? And of course, I mean, if you're going to judge cookies, you have to have a little bit of each one. And we suffered through that part, but it was very difficult to pick out the winner. So I want you to know your pastor put a lot of pressure on us. I think we've held up to the pressure, so I'm excited to see who it is that's going to win that one. But we've enjoyed our time very, very much. Let me just mention this briefly. My advertisement for tonight. If you've not picked up one of these off the table, pick up one or both of these. I think you'll enjoy reading them. Nepal, you'll remember, had an earthquake not that long ago. And this is a report. You know, a lot of times folks will give their money to different agencies that are relief agencies. And quite honestly, I'm not really sure where their money goes. Folks who gave through BIMI missionaries, you want to see exactly how that money was used and the souls that were saved as a direct result. There's some encouraging reports in here that I think will inspire you, lift your spirits as to what God is doing there in Nepal. And then this one is the most current issue. This is literally hot off the press. It was delivered to BIMI. I grabbed a bunch of them and brought them to this meeting. But it talks about some USA church planting, things that are happening around the United States of America. And I think this will bless your heart. So pick this up if you would. Take these with you. And again, I don't want to take any of them home with me. So please, you take them home with you. Help lighten my load. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I'm going to pick up where we left off last night. This is part 3 of this long message that we started on Wednesday night. And, I can probably guess that there are some of you right now who are just a little bit nervous. For you who are clock watchers, I want you to know that I see that it's 10 after, okay? That doesn't really mean anything to me, but I'm just telling you, I see that that's what time it is, okay? Sometimes it helps you to know that. But also, I know some of you are thinking, you know, Brother Snyder, the first night, you preached about 30 minutes, and we covered 3 verses. And some of you are thinking, last night, you covered 2 verses, and it took you about 30 minutes. And you're looking at the passage tonight thinking, you have 7 verses to go. Don't worry, I have a plan. If you will put your seat backs and your tray tables in the upright position, we will take off and we will fly tonight, okay? But besides that, it's Friday night, so most of you don't have to get up quite as early tomorrow morning, and I'll have you out of here before midnight, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, let's just ask for the Lord's help now as we begin tonight. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to once again be back here in your house. And God, I do pray that you would please bless and help us in this time. Lord, we have been blessed by the things that we have enjoyed together tonight. And I trust, I hope, and I pray that you have been glorified through everything that's said and everything that's been done. Lord, now as we come to the preaching of your word, would you in a very special way visit with us now, help us to focus on what you have us to focus on tonight. Lord, that again we might be changed and better for having been here in your house. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last two nights, as we've covered the verses that we did, there's a lot of, I guess I could say, foundational information that we have covered concerning grace giving or faith promise giving. And for some of you, I think probably maybe for the majority of you, this has been a review these last couple of nights and again tonight. But for some, it might be brand new. So there may be some of you who are still thinking, you know, preacher, I still have some questions about some certain things that about faith promise giving. Let me try to assure you that these seven verses that we will cover tonight, this is going to be more of a practical type message, if you will. This is the nuts and bolts of grace giving. How does this work, practically speaking, as far as us individually as we give and then as the church collects that which is given and gives it to the missionaries that they support? So 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches at Macedonia. The churches of Macedonia, an example to the church at Corinth. How so? Well, they were in a great trial of affliction, verse 2. They were in deep poverty, but despite that, they had joy, and God rewarded them for their giving. How did they give? Verse 3, they gave not only to their power, that is, sacrificially, but they gave beyond their power, they gave supernaturally, and the Bible says they were willing of themselves. They wanted to do this. So much so, verse 4 says they were praying and with much entreaty that they would that he would receive the gift. And then he talks about that gift, the fact that it was for the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. It's an offering given to a missionary for others, particularly the church at Jerusalem. And we talked about how this offering is an offering for others, a missions offering, an offering that is over and above God's tithe. And verse 5, we said, is the key verse to faith promise giving. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. God really doesn't want our money till he has us first. That's what he's looking for. Now, as Paul continues here in verse 6, he says, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Now, we don't know exactly Titus's role that he played here, but it's obvious that he did, as Paul mentions him here. But notice he says, so he would finish in you the same grace also. What grace is that? Again, it's the grace of giving that those churches at Macedonia experienced, and thus the reason why we often call this grace giving. Therefore, he says in verse 7, as ye abound in everything, he says, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, and your love to us, he said, see that ye abound in this grace also. Now, I don't know if you caught that or not, but Paul just gave the church at Corinth five compliments. That's not easy to do with the church at Corinth because the church at Corinth was a carnal church. But he said, hey, you're abounding in faith, you're in utterance, and knowledge, and diligence, your love to us, he says, Hey, that's wonderful. That's good. He says, continue to abound in those things, but see that ye abound in this grace also. And tonight I would encourage each of us as Christians that whatever ministry it is that God has us involved in, that we're doing for him, continue in that, abound in that ministry. Maybe it's a Sunday school ministry. Maybe it's a junior church ministry. Maybe it's a ministry of making meals for the missionaries. Praise God. Whatever your ministry is, abound in that ministry. But I would encourage you, see that ye abound in this grace also. And again, I would remind you of what the Scripture says, see that ye abound in this grace also. What's he saying? He's saying, don't just tip God. Don't just give God what happens to be left over at the end of the week or the end of the month, but abound in this grace also. Now, I want to go on record that I did not skip verse number 8. I want you to see that I am going to cover verse number 8. Paul says this in verse 8, I speak not by commandment. What's that mean? It means you don't have to do this. This is not required. And by the way, I'll throw this out again. That's one of the things that makes this different than the tithe. Because the tithe is the Lord's, and the tithe, God said simply, give it that which belongs to me, give it back to me. So that makes it different than a tithe. This, Paul says, I speak not by commandment. You don't have to do it. Now, before you let out the long sigh of relief, let's finish the verse. Paul says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, what's he talking about when he says the forwardness of others? That is the example of others. Who's that? The churches at Macedonia, who were in a great trial of affliction, who were in deep poverty.
who despite those things gave to their power and also gave beyond their power. He says, you don't have to do this, but before you decide to not be involved, you better stop and think about the example that has been set by others. And again, we here in the United States of America, boy, we are spoiled. And we need to stop and think about the examples others have set for us, even indeed the churches in Macedonia and the example that they are for us. But again, he says, before you decide to not be involved, he says, you better understand also, number two there, that this proves the sincerity of your love. Now, you've heard this said before, and it's true that you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. This is a proof of the sincerity of our love. You know, if I were to constantly tell my wife, Barb, Barb, I love you. Barb, I love you. Barb, I really love you. But I never did anything to put a roof over her head, never provided food for her, never gave her any clothing, and she just had to fend for herself. You know, after a while, my wife would come to me and say, you know, Dave, there's something wrong here. You're saying with your mouth that you love me, but your actions don't prove the sincerity of your love. Now, if I went around the auditorium tonight and I asked each one individually, do you love God? Do you love God? Do you love God? Do you love God? I would assume that every one of us would say, yes, I love God. And that's good and that's fine and we should be able to voice that. But you know, this is a wonderful opportunity that we have to go beyond voicing our love for God and proving the sincerity of our love. You know, money is one of those subjects that we get a little touchy about sometimes. You know, I find this interesting. You know, we can trust God with our soul for all eternity. But sometimes we have trouble trusting Him with our pocketbook or our wallet or a bank account. You know, the Bible talks about, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So our treasure and our heart are inseparably linked. Do this little test tonight. Think about this with me. Generally speaking, those things that we love the most are the things that we will spend the most money on in life. And generally speaking, those things that we love the least are the things that we'll spend the least money on. Our treasure and our heart, they go together. So now in your mind's eye, go down through your checkbook tonight. What is it that you spend the most money on? And then ask yourself, what is it that I spend the least money on? And then the question to ask after that is, where is God in that list? Is God somewhere up towards the top? Is He at the very top? Is God maybe halfway down there? Or is maybe God kind of down at the end and maybe you've just been tipping God and just kind of giving Him a little bit at the end? I speak not by commandment. Paul says you don't have to be involved, but before you decide to not be involved, you better stop and, number one, think about the example of others. And number two, you better stop and think about the fact that you are proving the sincerity of your love. And, you know, if those things weren't enough for us to stop and think about, I think then Paul adds verse number 9 to just kind of put that last nail in there, just to nail it home to us. He says, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. You want to see the ultimate example of grace-giving? It is Jesus Christ Himself. Who He gave Himself for us. He who was rich, He had everything. But He left heaven to come to this earth, not for His own benefit, but for ours. What an amazing thing. What an amazing example He sets for you and for me. The ultimate example of grace-giving. And when we see what He's done for us, how can we do anything less than say to Him, yes, Lord, whatever it is You want me to do, I will faithfully do it. Now, as we come to verse 10, Paul says, and herein I give my advice. He said, this is something you really need to stop thinking about. I'm going to give you my advice. He says, for this is expedient for you. Now stop just a moment, think about that. We know that missions giving is expedient for the missionary. Because the missionary needs to buy groceries. The missionary needs money to live. That's a fact. We all understand that. So missions giving is expedient for the missionary, but that's not what Paul is saying. Paul's saying this is expedient for you. Who's that? The you. You who get involved with this offering, those of you who give, this is expedient for you. And I want to tell you tonight, those who are involved in faith promise giving, it is expedient for us. It is beneficial to us. You say, how so? Well, I would like to answer that question and take a long time, but I can't tonight because I promised I'd have you out of here before midnight. But literally, in my notes, I have 11 different things that I've just listed kind of off the top of my head, things that are proof that this is expedient for us. I'm going to just name two of them very quickly. Number one, faith. We call it faith promise giving. You know, this is a faith builder. You know, look into your life and look back over the last week. Look back over the last month and take an inventory. How many things can you point to tonight and say, you know, that right there in my life, that built my faith. That strengthened my faith. God did a work in my life right there because of that particular thing in my life. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to really put our finger on some of those things. But I'll tell you what, those of us who are involved in faith promise giving, every time I write out my faith promise check, God says, there you go. I'm going to help strengthen your faith. It's amazing how this works. And, you know, we talk about exercising our faith. And when we talk about exercising, there's a saying that is, it goes like this. It says, no pain, no gain. Faith is the same way. But there's another way that this is expedient for us that I'll mention quickly. This gives us the opportunity to lay up treasure in heaven. We cannot take it with us. You know the old saying, you've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. It just doesn't happen, okay? But we can send it on up ahead. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but as I trust you've picked one of these up already, I trust you've been praying about it. I trust that as maybe tomorrow when you come or Sunday when you come in especially, you drop it in the box in the back there, that you think about this as a deposit ticket for the bank of heaven. You know, you can make some investments on this side of eternity. You know, when I was a kid, you could put money in the bank and they actually gave you interest for putting your money in the bank. Nowadays, you put money in the bank and they charge you to put money in the bank. It's not a very good investment anymore. But I'll tell you what, this investment right here, pun intended, it is out of this world. This is an investment that will last for all eternity. I don't know about you, but I want to lay up treasure in heaven because that's what my Lord said I need to be concentrating on this side of eternity. But we need to hurry on. Verse 10, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. To be forward a year ago, it means you wanted to do it. You were excited about doing this a year ago. And remember, I told you in the introduction on Wednesday night that a year had come and gone since Paul was with them. So now a year later, he writes back to them and says, hey, a year ago, you were excited about being involved in this, but nothing's happened up until this point. And you know, I don't know if you caught this or not, but those words there, a year ago, those three words, you know, we could probably just kind of breeze on by them and not think about them, but I believe that they are words that we need to stop and just spend a few moments on tonight because this is something that we need to understand concerning faith promise giving. Now, a couple of things. Number one, I want to say that I believe when we see those words, we have the principle laid out for us for the annual Faith Promise Missions Conference. Now, listen to me. Everybody listening tonight, don't leave here and say the preacher said that the Bible says thou shalt have an annual Faith Promise Missions Conference. That's not what I said, okay? But I believe the principle is laid out here for us. You say, how so? Now you stop and think about this. Paul, a year after the church at Corinth had made a promise to be part of this offering, now writes to them. And as he writes to them, here's what he wants them to do. Number one, Paul's saying, I want you to think back to a year ago, and I want you to think about the commitment you made to be involved in this offering. And he's saying, I want you to think about what you've done concerning that commitment over the last year. But then Paul also says, I want you to do a second thing. He says, I want you now to look to the future, and I want you to think about what you will do concerning this offering that we're taking up. And is that not what happens at the annual Faith Promise Missions Conference? There's two things that we're asking you to do. We're asking you to look back a year ago and consider the promise, the commitment that you made concerning the faith promise offering for missions. And dare I say, by the way, those of you who are doing that even right now and you're thinking back over last year, and couldn't we just have a great testimony service tonight of God's faithfulness, God's goodness, and how He has provided over this last year? Oh, it's an amazing thing to see how God provides. But also, as we come to this Faith Promise Missions Conference, there's another thing that we're asking us to do, and that is to look ahead, to see what God would have us to do as we look ahead to the next missions year. Because, you know, the need for worldwide missions is greater now than it was 1 year ago. And I will tell you this, if the Lord tarries, the need will even be greater 1 year from today. But there's a second thing that I want you to think about when you see that phrase in there, a year ago, and it's this. The commitment that you make to Faith Promise is a one-year commitment. It's a commitment for one full year. Now, it's important for us to understand that for a couple of reasons. Number one, once you make that commitment, whatever it is God lays on your heart, and let's just say 3 months from now, there are some unexpected financial difficulties that come your way. Does that mean that when they come your way, well, we can just quit giving now because, well, you know, I didn't expect these financial difficulties to come my way? No, no, no. Remember, this is a commitment for one full year. You say, well, what do I do when those unexpected financial difficulties come my way? You realize that this is a test. God sends us tests. And you say, Lord, by your grace, I want to pass this test. And we do that which He has asked us to do. But you see, there's another practical part of this that I need to mention. When we talk about this being a one-year commitment, I want to give you a hypothetical situation, because I've already talked to Pastor, and Pastor said that no one here is allowed to do this, okay? He's already told me, he's made it very clear. But hypothetically speaking, let's just say that 6 months from now, your job transfers you out of the state to somewhere far, far away. So when you leave 6 months from now, does that mean, okay, well, you know, I made that commitment, but now I can quit because, well, I've left the church? No, no, no. This is a commitment for one full year. So you say, preacher, what am I supposed to do? Well, once you move to that new church, that new place that God has taken you to, you continue to be faithful to the faith promise commitment that you made for the next 6 months until you complete that 1 year commitment that you made to God. You say, what do I do then, preacher? Well, by then, hopefully, you're already involved in that new church where you've just moved to, and you'll be able to jump in and get involved in their missions program right away and begin to give your faith promise at that church. Why? Because you need to understand, this is a commitment that you are making to God Almighty through Wilton Baptist Church for one full year. I think it's important for us to take notice of those words, a year ago, and understand these simple, basic principles of faith promise giving. Now, verse number 11. Now, therefore, so Paul's kind of wrap up these basic thoughts that he's been given. He says, now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. He says, you know, you were ready to do this. You were excited about doing it. And so now it's time. It's time to make good on the promise that you made. And he says, notice this, that there may be a performance out of that which ye have. It's very important for us to understand that principle of faith promise giving. There's to be a performance out of that which we have. There are some who teach and preach faith promise this way. They say, well, what you really do is you take one of these cards and you write down a number. As we mentioned last night, some folks just do it by emotion, which is very sad. But you just pull a number out of the hat, you put a number on this card, and you turn in the card, and praise God, if God gives you whatever it is you put on that card, then you give it to God and you rejoice in what He's done. But you know, if God doesn't give it to you, then you're off the hook and you don't have to give it. There are people who teach and preach faith promise that way. I know because I preached a missions conference in West Virginia. And the pastor, after we were done, came to me and he said, you know, Brother Snyder, he said, For the last 14 years, I have had preacher after preacher after preacher who has come in and preached our conference. And the men who have come in have preached it, that if God gives it to you, then you give it. If God doesn't give it to you, then you're not obligated to give it. And he said, you know, I've often wondered why faith promise giving never worked at our church for the last 14 years. You see, God expects us to do it His way, not our way. Let me give you an example. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 38. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. Now, I want you to see this verse, even though you know it well, I want you to follow along with me as I quote it. You see, I'm not in front of my Bible, and I'm going to try and quote this from memory. And I tell people I have a really good memory. It's just that it's really short, okay? So, I might have forgotten this verse since the last time I quoted it. So, now, you watch this verse. This is Jesus. The context is giving. And here's what he says. Now read along with me. Ready? Just read it silent. I'm going to read it out loud. Just follow along. Make sure I'm doing this right. After God gives it to you, then give. Oh, good. Some of you are following along. You saw I didn't quote that right, did I? That's not what the verse says. The verse simply says this. Give. And then what? It shall be given unto you. That's God's order. God says, you give, and then it will be given unto you. By the way, how? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. What's that mean in the Greek? Well, here's our Greek lesson for the night. It means you can't outgive God no matter how hard you try when you do it God's way. God said, give, and it shall be given unto you. By the way, because I'm such a practical person, think about this with me. If we were only supposed to give it when and if we saw it first, where's the faith in that? We wouldn't call it faith promise giving. We would call it sight promise giving. Just give it when you see it. Or let me ask this. Why would God have to bestow a special grace on the churches at Macedonia? Or why would we want or need God's grace to give it if we were only supposed to give it when and if we saw it first? There's to be a performance out of that which we have. Now, what does that really mean? When the rubber meets the road, what does that mean? Let me explain it to you this way. I'll give you my testimony. For those of you who do not know, even though I'm the president and general director of BIMI, I do not receive a salary from BIMI. I raise my own support, just like the rest of these missionaries that are here this week. I raise my support. Now, when it comes to the end of the month, I get a statement, and that statement tells how many churches gave and how much they gave, and I get a check. And I take that check at the end of each month. The first thing that comes out of that check is God's tithe, because it already belongs to the Lord. So I just do the math, 10%. And by the way, God doesn't mind if we round it up. Okay, he's okay with that. He really is. All right, just letting you know that. So the first thing that comes out of that check is God's tithe. Now watch. The second thing that comes out of that check is my faith promise commitment that I made to God. Why? Because there's to be a performance out of that which we have. We already know God expects it from us because this is what He's laid on our hearts, and that's why it's important to understand we're to give that which He lays on our hearts, and we give it out of that which we have. You say, what do you do then, preacher, after you give that? Then I start to really pray because I know how much month is left and I know how much money is left. But I'm here to tell you that in the last 26 years, God has never left a bill gone unpaid. As a matter of fact, it's never been paid late. Praise God. Why? Because you can't outgive God no matter how hard you try when you give it God's way. There's to be a performance out of that which we have. Now, we've got to hurry and finish up. Verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, and we've already talked about that last night, first, there must be that willing mind. Now, watch this. It is accepted. That, in other words, God's acceptance, God's view of this gift. It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Notice what God's saying here. And by the way, this is one of my favorite parts of faith promise giving. Right here it is. I wish I could spend a lot more time on this verse, but I'm just going to touch on it. God's acceptance of this gift, according to that which a man hath, not that which he has not. God's not concerned about what we don't have. What God's concerned about is what we do have. You know, we tend to be worried about, well, I don't have that, Lord. God's not worried about that at all. He said, what do you have? And it's God's acceptance or God's viewpoint of the offering that really matters. You say, explain that to me. Well, let me explain it to you this way. Over here, we have a person who they give a $50 faith promise offering. Praise God. That's wonderful. We rejoice in that. But over here, we have a person who gives a $100 faith promise offering. Woo! We rejoice on that. Now, watch this. Man's acceptance or man's viewpoint of these two gifts is that this one is twice the amount of this one. This one is larger than this one. That's man's viewpoint. That's at least that's the math they taught me when I was in school, okay? But now watch this. There's something we don't know. Because this person who gives this $50 faith promise offering does so on a $500 budget. Where this person who gives the $100 faith promise offering does so on a $5,000 budget. Do you see what just happened? God's acceptance, God's viewpoint is this one is much larger than this one. Because it's not the portion, but it's the proportion. Can I remind you of another story similar to that in Scripture? Remember when Jesus and his disciples were sitting in the temple and there were many who were bringing in their offerings and putting their offerings in, and some of them were rich, and you know that was a great thing. God never said, no, they shouldn't bring it. They were bringing it, that was great. But it was when that one widow came and she put in those two mites. Remember, that's when Jesus said to his disciples, okay, fellas, come here. I have a lesson you need to learn right now. That widow is the one who gave the most. Why? Because it doesn't matter about man's acceptance of the gift. It only matters what God views the gift as. How's he going to be happy, pleased with our gift? When we give whatever it is he lays on our hearts to give. I'm just going to end with this thought very quickly. One of the reasons I like that part of faith promise giving so much is because that tells me every single one of us can be involved in faith promise giving. You know, sometimes, I'm not sure why, but sometimes Christians seem to get this idea of, well, you know, I really can't give $1,000 a week, so I'll just leave that up to the rich people and the people that have money to do that, and, you know, I really can't get involved. No. That's not what God said. God honored the widow. God said it's not the portion, but the proportion. So you understand, if God lays on your heart to give a nickel a week, you know what you're supposed to give? A nickel a week. Praise God. Now, dare I say, we could probably all in here do better than a nickel a week, okay? I would hope so. But you know, it is amazing to me to watch how this works. You know, let me encourage you, every one of you, pray about what God would have you to do concerning faith promise. Couples, pray together about what God would have you to do. Barb and I, as we pray about this, it's always interesting to watch because we pray about it prior to and during the missions conference, and then towards the end of the missions conference, when it's time to fill out our faith promise card, you know, we get together and I say to Barb, okay, Barb, tell me what God's laid on your heart. And Barb says, no, you're the head of the home. You tell me first what God's laid on your heart. And I'll say, okay, since I'm the head of the home, then you tell me first what God's laid on your heart. You know, kind of go back and forth. But, you know, it's been interesting to watch because there's been times that Barb's faith has been a little stronger than mine and times where my faith's been a little stronger than hers. But God brings us to where we need to be as a couple. And we decide, hey, this is what God would have us to give. But, you know, I'll even take it a step further. You know, God may lay on your heart individually to give a faith promise offering. God has laid it on my heart. There's a personal faith promise offering that I give beyond what my wife and I give together. My wife also gives a personal faith promise offering that she gives. And by the way, she gets an allowance once a month, but it comes from her cheapskate husband. So she doesn't get a lot. It's kind of like the widow, okay? But you know, she makes a faith promise commitment every year. And I'll tell you what, the proportion of what she gives is amazing to me. But it's also amazing to me to watch how God provides a bunch of things for her that I don't believe he would otherwise. That's just a personal opinion. But I'll also make this one last plea. Parents, would you work with your young people concerning the faith promise commitment as well? If we teach our young people to give when they're this tall, when they get to be this tall, giving will be second nature to them. Teach them about God's tithe. Teach them about the opportunity they have to give to missions. Don't force them. It's up to them. And by the way, most children, they'll be glad to give. By the way, you'll see on the Faith Promise cards, there's a thing on there for age. I'm not asking you the age, but asking if you're an adult, teen, or youth. Why is that? Because most youth I know, hey, they'd give $500 a week, not even bat an eye, you know? So that's why we put that on there. But parents, work with your young people. Pray with your young people. I remember when my guys were little guys, you know, they had the same cheapskate dad who gave them an allowance too, so it wasn't much. But when it came time, I'd lay out those coins in my hand that was their allowance. And I would say, okay, now this is God's tithe. And I set it over here to the side. And we had already gone through the faith promise commitment. They put their slip in. They knew, okay, this is the faith promise commitment. This is for missions. And you know, my boys surprised me the first couple times I did that with them. They looked at me, they looked in my hand, and they looked back at me, and they said, you mean, Dad, we get to keep all of that? Oh, man, out of the mouth of babes. What are we worried about as adults? We're worried about what's set over here to the side. You know, how am I going to make it without that? We should be looking at what's left in our hand and say, God, you mean I get to keep all of that? I get to be a steward of that for you? So parents, pray with your young people. Work with them on this as well. Why? We can, and I believe personally should, all be involved in this wonderful opportunity that God gives us to spread the gospel around the world, that which we often call faith promise giving or grace giving. What an example that churches at Macedonia have set for us. Let's follow their example. Would you stand with me? Heads bowed, eyes closed. And again, I know the lateness of the hour, and we're not going to prolong the service, but I do want to just give you an opportunity to just pray and just talk with the Lord about the example of the Macedonians that we've seen.